is Genesis History. That is the title of an exciting new film that is hosted by Del Tackett. You may remember Del Tackett because he is the creator and the host of The Truth Project, which was viewed by more than 12 million people worldwide. Del Tackett now joins us on Vocal Points. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Del, thank you so much for joining us.
Jerry, it's a pleasure to be here, and it's good to be back with you again.
Yes, and I'm so excited about this new film, Is Genesis History? Here are some of the issues that are covered in this. Was the universe created in six literal days? Did humans evolve? Were Adam and Eve real? Was there a global flood? What happened to the dinosaurs? And on and on and on. And I want to ask you, first and foremost, why does it matter, Del? Some people may think, well, God made the world, but, you know, maybe he did it through evolution. Who cares?
Well, it matters, I think, a great deal, Jerry. One of the key things that actually spurred me on to do this was I began to see a very aggressive rise within what I will call evangelical hierarchy. I don't mean by that, you know, people better than others. You know what I mean by that. But within our seminaries and some pastors and authors and so forth, a tendency to buy the current scientific paradigm of deep time. And from a Christian perspective, then applying that to Genesis, and the deep time then wipes away the historical record there. So you end up without a true Adam and Eve. You end up without a real sin and fall. You lose the whole perspective of God's announcement of the coming Messiah in that great proto-evangel that God speaks there in the garden. You lose the historical understanding of God's judgment and the flood. Anyway, all of that gets washed away, and from a biblical worldview perspective, our worldview is rooted there. It's rooted in those scientific, it's rooted there in those historical narratives.
No first Adam, no second Adam. All right, tell us about the experts that you and the producer of this film chose to pursue. And these are some leading people.
Oh, wow. I'll tell you, Jerry, I honestly think of them, quite frankly, as these incredible people that I just call scary smart. I mean, some of them, I don't know that I've ever been around people that have had the depth of their intellect, their professionalism. They are people that are working in the field. For example, Dr. Art Chadwick, when we went up to Wyoming, he has been working in that dinosaur field. Actually, it's a huge ranch for years and years and years, and his work there is considered some of the very top in the world in terms of studying dinosaurs. So these people are professionals. They're highly credentialed. They all have their doctorates, and it was a delight to work with them.
Just real fast before we leave the issue of the dinosaurs, why are they significant?
Well, the dinosaurs are significant in a number of ways. I think, first of all, because they just capture our imagination. I mean, we just don't have creatures like that today, and yet we find this evidence of them all over the world. It's not just in a few places. It's all over the world that we find these mass graveyards of these huge creatures. And studying those fossil remains and how they died gives us, I think, a great clue to understand that they did not just die and fall on the ground and over a long period of time get covered up. They died in a catastrophic event.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're seeing. So dinosaurs are interest to most people and most children as well.
Yeah, but the significance is that there's a big difference between, you know, the evolutionary view where they supposedly died out 65 million years ago versus, you know, the creation view where, no, actually there was a time when man and dinosaurs lived on planet Earth. Is there evidence for that in the film?
If we look at the historical record that God has given to us in Genesis, God created all of the animals. He created the plants, the fish, the birds of the air, and he created man all within that first creation week. And so certainly man and dinosaurs were alive at the same time. But the record also tells us that after the fall, God judged the earth because it became so violent that he wiped out all of the land creatures and all of mankind other than Noah and his family that he saved. And so those creatures that we see are not creatures that, if you follow the current scientific paradigm of deep time that existed millions and millions of years ago, these are creatures that are really of near time. And that was why, Jerry, when we were in the lab looking at the soft dinosaur tissue, it was absolutely fascinating. I saw it under the microscope. I held it. It's stretchy. This cannot occur in a dinosaur bone that is millions of years old. That protein breaks down rapidly.
Yeah.
So the
and we're not told about that. We're not taught.
Understand.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And we're not taught about those. I mean, we're not even the news of soft tissue bones of dinosaurs. Or, you know, soft tissues is not well proclaimed, you know, in the culture, but truth is truth, and thank God for films like this to get the word out.
Well, that's true, and, you know, this is an interesting point, Jerry, because it's important for us to understand the context of the current scientific paradigm that has captured all of academia and media and so forth. This is not new. If you look at the history of science, a scientific paradigm arises and it captures the culture, and when it does, it reigns supreme. And there are really no other questions that are allowed to be asked, no other evidence, and partly just because when you're caught in a paradigm, you don't see it. And yet those paradigms have crashed and others have arisen. Those have crashed, and we happen to be in the middle of a current scientific paradigm that I think is going to crash as well. And what happens is that we wall ourselves off, therefore, to any contrary evidence. And so it's not surprising that we're now finding soft dinosaur tissue in a number of bones. And yet, the current paradigm doesn't know how to deal with that, and so therefore, it's in many cases it's just ignored or shunted off. So this is what is important for people to understand, because if you take a current paradigm, scientific paradigm, which I think is going to pass away, and you try to force God's word into that, oh my goodness, you have things reversed. You're standing on very shaky ground.
Excellent point. You know, it reminds me of the verse from Paul, Romans 1:18, where he talks about how they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. That's a perfect example. Okay, now you mentioned this one expert. How about maybe you could just give us a handful of other experts that you were so pleased to interview in this film, on location, no less.
Oh, my goodness, Jerry, they were all incredible men. When I think of Dr. Steve Austin, showing us the nautiloid fossils in the Grand Canyon, which was a clear picture that these nautiloids did not just drop to the bottom of an ocean and die. They are all arranged in a particular order. Some of them are on end, and some of the nautiloids, we're talking about several feet in length, and yet they are fossilized, sitting on end. Well, the current paradigm doesn't have a way for creatures to be fossilized like that. It's very, very clear evidence of a catastrophic, rapid burial. Dr. Steve Austin has been studying those nautiloids for years and years, and yet they have been ignored by the current scientific paradigm.
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, the moral of the story here is that if the Grand Canyon had been created by erosion through water over the millions and millions of years, then how in the world would you have these creatures that were at one time alive trapped in fossils about in the middle of the Grand Canyon? It wouldn't make sense unless maybe this is something that happened very quickly,
yes,
such as Noah's flood.
One of our great interests in the canyon is, really is not so much how it was carved out, although I believe it was carved out catastrophically. And Dr. Austin also points out, I think, in the film, that the paradigm itself is having to give away to the notion that the Colorado River carved the Grand Canyon over millions of years, because the evidence just doesn't support that. So they're giving way on that. But to me, the interest in the Grand Canyon is what that carving out has shown us. It shows us the layers upon layers of sedimentary layers. Some of these layers, Jerry, are 1,000 feet thick.
Wow.
And buried in those layers is the mass graveyard of creatures that were trapped there. And I'll tell you, if you go down into the Grand Canyon and you spend some time thinking about what God did in that judgment, it overwhelms you. It overwhelms you with the power of God. It overwhelms you with the enormity of the judgment that he poured out upon the world. And it helps us realize why Peter was pointing back to that destruction and judgment of God in order to help people understand there would become a future judgment that will come with fire. If you put a tarp over the flood and the judgment of God, then you put a tarp over the fact that God will hold people accountable in the future as well.
Mm. Excellent point. And I know some of the other guests include Dr. Kurt Wise, who I believe was trained as a at Harvard. You know, he's not teaching at Harvard, but he's trained there. And Dr. George Grant, a theologian, talking about Adam and Eve. And in fact, why don't you comment about Adam and Eve and how important a literal Adam and Eve are to the Bible?
Well, for those who hold to not only the truth of God's word, but hold to what it is telling us about who we are, about who God is, about the reality of our lost nature, and why we need a Savior. Paul makes it very, very clear. He ties together the first Adam, that sin came in through one man, and through one man also comes salvation. Paul reiterates this. He talks about it clearly, pointing to the reality of a historical Adam. Jesus did the same thing, although he wasn't speaking of salvation. He was speaking to those who were asking him concerning the issue of marriage. And Jesus took them back to the beginning. He said, in the beginning, God made them male and female. Well, that is deeply contrary, especially to this new wave in evangelical Christianity to try and map deep time on Genesis, where there is no Adam and Eve. It was just a group of hominids that eventually, at one point, God put a spirit in them. This is radically different. When Jesus points back and speaks of Adam and Eve, he's speaking as if they were a historical a male and female that God made. And so our whole understanding, not only of being made in the image of God, our understanding of who God is and why he made us, our understanding of sin and our separation from God and our need for a Savior, all of this, Jerry, is rooted in the historical account that God gave to us in Genesis.
That is so true. And it, to say otherwise is to say that sin, death, came before there was sin. And so that just does not work. Listen, you have put together with your team a fantastic film, which will be broken into smaller parts, but everybody's got to see the little clips. and the trailer at isgenesishistory.com. Del Tackett, thank you so much for joining us. God bless you, sir.
My pleasure, Jerry. I always enjoy being with you. And God bless all of your listeners.
Okay, thank you now. Bye-bye.